All right, it's good to see everybody this morning. I want to welcome everybody that's watching online today. We're going to be in chapter 2 of the book of 1 Peter. Before I begin in the scriptures and go any further, I know all of you that have seen me this morning have got a question for me. And that is, what happened to your right eye? Thursday night, Kay and I were sitting watching TV in the living room, and it was getting close to 10 o'clock. Said, it's about time we went to bed, isn't it? She said, yeah. So I turned the TV off, walked over to her. She was in the recliner, and she said, what happened to your eye? I said, what do you mean? She said, there's blood all around your right eye. And I said, well, I don't feel anything. I said, I didn't know anything happened. I went and looked in the mirror, and she was right. All around this right eye, I guess a blood vessel burst under the skin, and it was bloody all around this side of my right eye. It looks good now compared to what it did look like, but that's my story. I'm sticking to it. It's the gospel truth, and if you want to make something else out of it, you can. I am preaching on gospel, not on gossip this morning. I want to read you a scripture before we get into 1 Peter. First of all, let's pray together. Father, open our minds and our hearts to the understanding of your word, that we might hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. We thank you, Father, for your word, which is a perfect treasure. It is able to make one wise unto salvation. It is the tool that you use to lead us to yourself, to salvation, to forgiveness, and then to teach us and to grow us and to make us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your word. We pray that you might indwell within us a desire that we might grow, that we might learn from your word, that you might grow greater and greater in our mind, in our eyes, in our heart, and we might become less and less. We thank you, for it is a divine treasure that you've given us, that you've handed down through the apostles and the prophets. We thank you for Christ, the life we have in him, and the good things you give us each day. Now I pray that you'll use me as a vessel that will glorify you and edify your church. For we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in the 13th verse, let me read you this scripture. And Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and this is what he says. And we also thank God continually, because when you receive the word of God, when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. So Paul writes, and he said, you received it as you know it is. It is the word of God, which is at work within you. Now then, as we look at chapter 2 of the book of 1 Peter, I'm going to go over some things that I didn't get through and want to really reiterate this morning as we finish this up and then go on to what we're going to be studying about tonight. And he says, we notice the very first word of chapter 2 is therefore, which ties everything he just said, the fragility of mankind that we taught on Sunday night, that everything that our Wednesday night, that everything that is created, that is born of a seed, will die. All mankind will die. All plant life will die. All animal life will die. That it is something that we know to be true, because that not only brings life, but it brings eternal life. It is that imperishable seed that he talks about here in chapter 1 that is the Word of God. Just as I read to you from Thessalonians chapter 1, he said you received it because you know it actually is not the word of men, but the Word of God. You were saved by the Word of God that was spoken, that was preached to you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God used this word to convict you of your sins and to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your souls. So the seed that is spoken of here, that is eternal, that is imperishable, is the Word of God. That God the Father used the power of the Holy Spirit through the Son Jesus Christ, whom he sent to be the substitutionary payment and death for our sins. You were born again by the power of God through the living and abiding Word of God. Now then, as I read there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he says, which is at work in you. Which is at work in you. So it is not just at work in you leading you to salvation. It is the living and abiding Word of God which is in you, making you into the image of Jesus Christ. So it is a continual work that is going on. This is why he says in chapter 2, therefore rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all slander of every kind. So, what he is trying to stress here is the importance of Jack Russell abiding in the Word of God. If I'm to grow to be what he saved me to be. Because he has put this all together as babies needing, desiring the milk that sustains their life. In other words, I know when Taylor had Flora, if Flora didn't get fed when she thought she should, she let everybody know it. There was a great screeching noise that came out of her lungs that raised the hair on your head. Because that was built within her, that desire for the life-giving milk of her mother that would not only sustain her life, but would actually grow her. The same is true of the Word of God. That's why he is comparing this to us being babes. He's not saying we're babes in the fact that we're new Christians. He's saying that as babes are born into this world with a natural desire and hunger for their mother's milk, so we must understand, as we have been born again through the Word of God, there should be a natural hunger and desire within us for the milk of the Word of God. This is what he's portraying. Now, this is slow go with Peter, okay? Because if I'm teaching through Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, or any of the letters that Paul wrote, they flow. They flow. Because this is how Paul writes, and it flows from, it is configured from one natural point to another. Peter is more like me. He may be talking about this, and then something comes in his mind and he jumps to this. And so he jumps from one point to another point to another point, and they may not be chronologically lined up. So when you teach through and you study through and you read through 1 and 2 Peter, that's what you're going to find. Now then, he says, rid yourself of all, and let me go through these real quick. So what are we talking about then? If I am to do what he says, and that is have a hunger and a desire for the Word of God, like a newborn baby does, the milk from its mother, there's something that has to happen in my life. I have to recognize and eliminate the sin in my life that hinders me from growing as a Christian. That's what he's talking about here. I have to eliminate the sin in my life that keeps me from growing as a Christian. So I have to look at my life in light of the Word of God and see what's going on. See what's going on. I can tell when I'm not where I'm supposed to be in my life as a Christian because I'm not in the Word as I should be. Because when I'm in the Word as I should be, there is a fellowship, there is a closeness of relationship that I have with the Lord that I do not have when I'm not in the Word. And the thing that hinders us from being in the Word is sin in our life, things that get in the way that hinder us from being in the Word of God, that hinders us from growing as a Christian. Now, and he talks about several things. He talks about malice, first of all. Well, we talked about that. And that is a inherent wickedness that is in our life. We call it the flesh. I'm dragging around the flesh till I get a glorified body and I'm in heaven. I won't have these temptations. I won't have these problems in my life in heaven that I have here. But I have so many things because of the flesh that I'm carrying around with me that distracts me, that tempts me, that pulls me aside from being in the Word of God. And so he's saying, first of all, malice, wickedness, this inherent wickedness that is in the life of everybody because we have a fallen body. Second thing he says is all deceit, dishonesty and falsehood. You know, sometimes we lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves we're where we should be. We tell ourselves we're all right when we really aren't. When we really aren't. And so I have to look at myself honestly. Well, how can I look at myself honestly? I have to look at myself honestly in the mirror of God's Word. When I got up this morning and I was getting ready for church, I had to look at myself honestly and say, boy, when they see your eye, somebody's really going to say something about that. And I said, well, self, you got a darn thing you can do about it. Just tell them the truth. What happened? And anyway, what I'm saying is, when I look in the mirror of God's Word, I do not see myself until I look into the mirror of God's Word. Then I see who I really am. And so admit when I'm wrong in my life or nothing improves, nothing gets any better. The next thing he says is hypocrisy. Get rid of all hypocrisy. That is putting on a mask, acting like everything's hunky-dory, everything is all right when it's not. You know, when we come in here, if you gather in the vestibule as I do, I get here, the first service still going on. It's not over yet. Not time for me to come in for Sunday school yet. So we gather out there in the vestibule. Well, what is it that we talk about in the vestibule? You know, it my right eye, your lumbago, your arthritis, your had a bad night. I'm not feeling well. Charlie had to go to the hospital, you know, Diana had this and she's got this. We talk about our ailments. So we're really encouraged by the time we come in here, right? Anyway, that's all right. We're being honest with ourselves, aren't we? We're being honest with ourselves. But he says, don't put on a mask and act like everything's all right. You know, the only time everything will be all right is in glory. Let's just admit it. That's the only time everything will be all right. So don't put on a mask and act like everything is all right when it's not. Okay? The next thing he talks about is all slander. All slander. No, and it's envy. I'm sorry. Envy is the next thing. All envy. Put away all envy. Wanting to have what others have or wanting to be who others are. You ever look at somebody and say, well, I wish I had what they had, or I wish I was like them, or I wish I was in their place. You never know, what, no matter whatever situation I'm in. And that is a wonderful thing to do. And so I've learned to be content with my black eye, okay, as I walk in here today. No matter what you say, I'm content with it. So we are content with who we are in Christ and what God has given us as we grow as a Christian. So we get away with all envy. The next thing he says is slander. And boy, this is a big one, especially with social media. Slander means malicious gossip or tearing down other people. Malicious gossip or tearing down was that which builds people up. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if the only thing that came across social media is the only thing that would build people up, not tear people down? But we certainly cannot say that is true. If you can't say anything good about somebody, just don't say anything. Because we in the body of Christ are here to lift each other up. We are here to build each other up. We are here to edify each other in Christ. And so he says, put away all slander. And this is something very important in our life as a believer. And so these are the things that he talks about here as we look at this. Now then, first, that element was put away sin in your life. The reason I'm looking at this, my computer and my printer page was what? And it's got me so mixed up. I have to look and see where I wrote down what page it is because it's got it so mixed up. Oh, there's page 10 right there. Admit your need. Admit your need. We all need help. We all need help. Find our help in the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. This is where we find our help. So where do we need to be then? When we're going through a really hard time in our life, where we're going through a real trial in our life, I remember I was in St. Louis, Missouri, at the Southern Baptist Convention, and as we were gathered there in the auditorium, huge auditorium, there was about 40,000 people there. There was a sign that come across the screen, needs to go to the nearest phone. And that's what I did. And found out I had a call, Taylor. And I called, made the call, she picked up the phone, and she was crying. And I said, Irene, what has happened? She said, Gary and Andy were down at the river fishing, and lightning struck Gary and killed him. I said, I'm on my way. So we throwed everything in the suitcases and drove back home. I got back to Metropolis, drove to her house, went in the house. I knocked on the door and told her, it's Brother Jack. She said, come in. She was sitting on the bed, tears running down her face. And she said, I don't know what to do. I said, you get in the Word. I said, God's got this. I said, we're going to pray together, and then you're going to stay in the book of Psalms. I said, you get in the Word, and you stay in the Word. I said, God will get you through this. And I told her, I said, there will be a day when you'll know joy and peace again. It may not seem like it now, but there will be a day that you will know joy and peace again. And that's exactly what she did. She got in the Word. And after, not months, but about a year later, we talked, and she said, that's the best thing I could have done. But you've got to admit you need it. Because if you don't admit you need it, you won't do it. You've got to know where to find the help that you need. And the first step in doing that is admitting you need it. You need to know the Lord. And this is where you know the Lord. And the more you know about Him, the greater He becomes in your mind and in your heart. And the greater He becomes in your mind and the heart, the smaller your problems become. As He grows greater, your problems grow smaller. Because you realize, whatever it is, He's got this. He's got this. And so, we admit the need in our life. We need the Word of God. Because that's what feeds us, that's what grows us, that's what helps us right in the middle of our trials and tribulation that we're going through, and that's why God gave it to us. To lead us to salvation, to grow us in the Lord, and to lift us up when we're torn down. And so we have to come to the place, what does that baby understand? Why does that baby cry? Because that baby knows without the milk, it cannot survive. Let me tell you something. Without the Word, you cannot survive. So we have to come to the place that we admit we need the Word of God. Now then, the next thing, the next step is that let me read the scripture here because I'm getting ahead of myself. Get rid of every slander of every kind. Verse 2, like newborn babies, crave, hunger for, desire pure spiritual milk. Pure spiritual milk. So that by it you may grow. No, that's not what he said, is it? You may grow up in your salvation. You may grow up in your salvation. The next thing that I need to do as a believer is pursue my growth as a Christian. Pursue my growth as a Christian. Not getting satisfied where I am. Not being satisfied where I am. And this is not easy, because Satan will do everything in his power to make you think you're satisfied where you are. You say, well, how do you know this? Why, it's abundantly clear. It's abundantly clear. Most of the people that come to Waldo Baptist Church think all they need, I call them vaccinated Christians. Because they think all they need is one shot on Sunday morning, and that's good enough for the whole week. And so they show up for preaching on Sunday morning, and they get their vaccination, and they think that's good for the rest of the week. You cannot grow and become what God wants you to be in Christ if that's all you get. I know there is a difference between preaching and teaching. Now, good preaching involves good teaching as well. But let me tell you something. There's a difference when I preach. I'm trying to move you. I'm trying to move the person that is lost to the reality that they're lost in their sin, that they only hope is to come to Christ. And I will use whatever means possible to get them to that point to understand this. When I'm teaching, there is a whole different setup. When I'm teaching, I'm trying to get the person that has already come to Christ to realize how much they need to grow to become what Christ saved them to be, so that God will be glorified and they will be edified and God will become greater and greater in their life, and their problems will become smaller and smaller because they're realizing the magnitude of the sovereignty of God and the power of God to take care of whatever problem they're having in their life. And so we teach, and we break down the Word, and we break down what the author is trying to say to us. And we build each other up in the Word. So we pursue. When you got saved, that wasn't the end, that was a beginning. That was a beginning of what doing. This one thing I do, Paul said, forgetting what is behind, I press forward for the mark of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing I have not yet attained. Well, if the Apostle Paul, who was one of the greatest Christians on the face of the earth, said, I realize I have not attained everything that God has for me, if he can say that, what about me and you? I have not yet attained everything that God has in store for me to become here on this earth as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm still working on it. He's still working on me. Now, I don't know how long the Lord's going to leave me here. I'm ready to go anytime. But the truth of the matter is, as long as I am here for a purpose. And that purpose is to pursue what God saved me to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's your purpose as well. That's your purpose. Amen? So I pray that we can see what is Peter trying to tell us here. He's trying to tell us, as a Christian in this broken, dying, corrupt world, you can't survive apart from the Word of God. Just like that newborn baby knows it cannot survive without its mother's milk. You cannot survive in this world as a Christian apart from the Word of God that feeds you, that edifies you, that grows you, that teaches you, that makes you become what Christ has saved you to be. Amen? All right. Did the bell ring? One bell. I thought two. I made it. All right. Now we'll go on from there tonight. All right? Unless you're at the Super Bowl, which means you chose football over God. Very simple thing. Choices to make. You see, Nate and I are very different. He says he don't like making people feel guilty. I don't mind it at all. It doesn't bother me at all because I know where I ought to be. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we lift up Shirley Jennings and Gary to you. We pray for their highest good and your glory. We pray, Lord, for you to do for them what they cannot do for themselves. We pray and lift them up to you this morning, as well as each on our prayer list that are hurting, that are suffering, that, Lord, need your healing touch, your love and your grace and your mercy that is new every day. Pour it out on those on our prayer list. Help them, Lord. Touch them, love them, protect them, and if it be your will, heal them. For we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen.